cost $10. We even pay the postage. So go to RightCarRightPrice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The BBC reports that firefighters are more at risk for some cancers due to their exposure to toxic chemicals released during fires. The report suggests that besides protective clothing, firefighters wash off completely after a fire, so their skin has no contact with toxins. IBM is reportedly joining Citibank in its bid to take over China's Guangdong Development Bank, or GDB. If Citibank wins, IBM will have a 5% stake, while China's life insurance will have 25%. The Wall Street Journal reports that Toyota plans to capture 15% of the world car market by 2010. Part of the plan involves upping production in countries like India and China. Gucci has expanded to Japan. The company recently paid nearly $13,000 per square foot to open its flagship store in Tokyo. Activists in the U.S. and Mexico have joined together to protest the expansion of Walmart stores in Mexico. They say the retail giant is hurting Mexico's culture. Truck maker Volvo plans to cut about 1,000 staff at a plant in Virginia ahead of an expected drop in output. And House leaders say they'll accept less offshore drilling than they initially wanted following Democratic victories that make the previous plan all but impossible. Light sweet crude is trading at $58.80. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is up 22 points, NASDAQ up 10, S&P 500 up 3. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Well, it is a new morning in Washington, D.C. Congress is back in session, and a number of legislators, look kind of dazed. The Republicans are sort of wandering around like, when will this nightmare ever end? The Democrats are full of smiles. There is a lame duck session, of course, going on. It's starting right now. It's going to go on, who knows, maybe for another month. And lame duck sessions are always strange beasts. Of course, a lame duck session is when you have a new Congress that's already been elected, but hasn't yet to take power. This Congress will not take power. The new Congress, where the Democrats take over, until January 6th. So what will the Republicans do in the lame duck session? Well, the president has tried to ram through pieces of legislation he knows have no chance in a Democratic legislature. He's been proposing, for example, his warrantless wiretapping program, the idea that he can legally listen to all of our phone calls, whether or not we've committed a crime or not. He calls it his terrorist watching program. But unless you really think all 300 million of us Americans are terrorists, it's unclear why he can't just get a warrant and go through the courts. One of the first things Bush mentioned was, in fact, he'd like to get this legislation through the lame duck session. I don't think it's going to happen. The Democrats are going to stand firm, filibuster if they have to, and wait until the new session comes in January to discuss that. Another one that he tried to ram through is the Ambassador Bolton, of course, John Bolton at the United Nations, someone who the Democrats had already rejected before, tried to ram that through, but Lincoln Chafee, interestingly enough, a liberal Republican who, after his loss as Rhode Island senator just a week ago, is thinking about becoming a Democrat, said that he was not going to go against the will of his constituents and appoint Bolton. So none of that's going to happen. So what can happen? Well, one of the interesting things they're talking about is finally giving a District of Columbia representative a right to vote in Congress, something that's long, long due, the idea that American citizens have to pay taxes and serve in the military, in the case of a draft, serve on juries, but can't vote in Congress. The idea that District of Columbia, people don't even realize the District of Columbia has no senators, has no representative with a voice in Congress. It's about time that happened. And most other things, I think, will probably wait for the Democrats to take office in January. But in general, what have we learned from this election? Well, I would venture to say we've learned a couple things. One, we've learned the Democratic tent is a lot bigger than some of us thought. It's not merely a liberal tent, but a centrist tent, and that's a good thing in my view, because there are many things that liberals and moderates can come together on, things like a minimum wage. We'll talk about that in the hour. And we also learned that the Republicans will do anything and everything to try to retain power. The dirty tricks in this election, I venture to say, were the lowest and dirtiest in my lifetime. And yet they still lost. Why is that? What will they do in the future? Well, let's talk about it. If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. One of my favorite listeners, Sarge from Mississippi, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, Mark, I was kind of hoping I'd be late in the show so I could listen to you. My computer went down.
Oh, okay. Well, tell you what. You want to comment now, or you want to listen for a while and comment later?
I'll go ahead. What I wanted to comment, one thing that's been going on, you understand that there was a statement by Chip Pickering, a representative from Mississippi, District 3, Mississippi. That was a blast at a statement made by Charlie Rangel, which I believe the statement had something to do with the poverty in Mississippi. I'm not sure about the statement itself, but he was demanding that Rangel make an apology. Well, I decided that the best thing to do in the spirit of bipartisanship and in a cooperative mode was, if since I have information on Katrina and I know areas that they can go in and visit and see the actual people suffering and what they're living with and how they're not being treated, if it would be a good thing to invite both of them to come make a trip to the area, and I would give them the exact places to go and set them up with the right people to take them there, and I'd even go myself if they were required, and then let them kind of go together and look and see if, or separately if they want, and see if these areas might be due an apology to themselves, to heck with whether Pickering deserves an apology, to heck with whether Rangel said it wrong or not. Here's a chance for them to go down and see and apologize to the people.
Well, I think you suggest that to Chip Pickering. What happened, by the way, just so the listeners are aware, is Rangel was complaining that Mississippi gets much more of its fair share back in federal money than New Yorkers do, that New Yorkers pay much more in and Mississippi gets much more back. Frankly, I guess I disagree with Rangel in some sense, in that Mississippians are poorer than New Yorkers, and I don't mind a little redistribution of wealth in that way.
Sure.
Frankly, instead of picking on Mississippi, I'd rather he pick on Alaska, a state that isn't poor but gets far more than its fair share back in federal money.
We also are drawing a heck of a lot of money in this area, and it's being misappropriated. That's another ballgame. But we're getting a lot of money that we really need to get to rebuild. Of course, the problem is the money's not going to the people that's actually going to do the rebuilding, and they're going into the pockets of cronies.
Well, I mean, you make some very good points, Sergeant. Well, I'm just – what I think this is about, obviously, is a very superficial political thing rather than anything of real substance. What Rangel said, quote, Mississippi gets more than their fair share back in federal money, but who the hell wants to live in Mississippi? To which point Pickering said, I hope his remarks are not the kind of insult, slander, and defamation that Mississippians will come to expect from the Democratic – he says Democrat, because Pickering doesn't apparently know what the name of our party. Democrat leadership in Washington, D.C. So Pickering's trying to exploit what Rangel said for political purposes. Then Rangel then responds, I so don't mean to offend anyone. I just love New York so much. I can't understand why everyone would want to live there.
I did actually indicate to both, I called both of them this morning, called their offices, and I extended an invitation to both offices that if they were willing, either singly, together, or whatnot, I would be more than glad to set them up with actual people, let them talk to the actual people who are in dire straits down there, who are actually going through the rebuilding and being affected by it.
And so what did they say? How did they respond?
The first thing that I got from Pickering's office was, Representative Pickering is really active in the Katrina area. And I said, oh, really? What is he doing? He is helping group so-and-so, he's contributing heavily to them. And I said, well, good, because I've got another area he can contribute in. Here's the invitation. And she said, well, sorry, I ain't got time to talk to you now. And I said, well, Mama.
Is that really what she said? I don't have time to talk with you now.
Right. And I said, well, now, why don't, she said, I'll pass a message on. And I said, well, good. Would you like my phone number, maybe? You know, you can give me a call. I actually answer my phone. And
So she's claiming that he's giving, what, some money to some organization rather than, I mean, he's a Mississippi congressman.
Right.
Shouldn't he be down there?
And so
I mean, his district, part of it borders Louisiana. I mean, it's not exactly, part of it is not too far from the Gulf
yeah,
Coast.
In fact, he's from Laurel, Mississippi, which actually took some of the hit off of Katrina. And that's just a little bit northeast of me. So, I mean, they took a pretty good hit, too. Of course, he doesn't live there anymore. He lives in Madison County on a farm.
Yeah, well, he's too busy talking about Wrangell insulting Mississippi, I guess, to actually help people from Mississippi.
But I did actually offer both of them, and she finally took the phone number. I'm not expecting to call back.
I'd call back in another couple of days and say, well, is he going to come or not? Because if he's not, we're going, you know, we want to announce either him coming or him not coming throughout southern Mississippi, and we want to see whether he's actually taking the invitation. You know, let her know it's going to be. We're going to make a political thing out of it.
And as far as Wrangell's office goes, I don't think the staffer really knew what I was talking about too well, because he just kind of blew me off a little bit. And I said, look, maybe you need to. I told him I was from Mississippi, so I said, look, I'm a liberal from Mississippi. I'm one of those rare things that you'll hardly ever find, but I'm actually a liberal. And so, therefore, I'm not calling to gripe about this. I'm calling to offer a solution, and where you and Pickering can take, where the two can take together an opportunity and make something good happen out of it, you know.
Well, I wish you luck, Sarge. I know it's tough. I'll tell you who I'd probably, in terms of real relief to Katrina victims, I'd focus on, and that's Benny Thompson, because I think he's going to be the head of the Homeland Security Department. He is from Mississippi. I think you'll find much, in terms of pure Katrina relief, I think you'll find that his staff is the closest to it. They're Democrats. They're, you know, he's African American. They're from Mississippi. He's going to head the Homeland Security Department, which oversees FEMA. This is, if you want the man that should help you the most,
okay,
it should be Congressman Thompson.
Have you ever heard of a guy named Burns Stridler? Works for Representative Clyburn.
I haven't, but okay. I don't know every staffer. There's thousands of us in Washington.
Yeah. Well, I talked to him, and he's heading up the Katrina part for Representative Clyburn, and
okay.
He was actually very, very helpful to me this morning.
Yeah, I think he would be, and I would call Thompson's office, too. I think that they'll be helpful as well. Hey, Sarge, I'm going to take a break. If you want to keep listening on the phone, I'm sure they'll allow that. That's between you and the head-on studio. They'll probably let you listen in. Other folks, if you want to call in, the toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back after this.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
A gallon of gas and a gallon of milk. That's what 1 hour of minimum wage work will buy. For nearly a decade, Virginia's minimum wage has remained pitifully low at $5.15 an hour.
When the plant closed, I took this job paying just a little more than the minimum wage. But I still can't support my family. Somebody should raise the bar.
America needs a raise. Help raise the minimum wage. Sign the petition at www.vafairwage.org. Sponsored by the Virginia AFL-CIO, working hard for all working people.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org today.
The Native American Journalists Association is calling out to tomorrow's reporters, photographers, editors, and publishers to represent Native perspectives.
Today's agreement allows the Nebraska State Patrol and Winnebago Tribal Police to share enforcement.
The tribe is taking its concerns to the Bureau of Reclamation, which manages and
Native American inmates have filed suit against the prison.
Go to NAJA.com to learn more about membership and benefits. NAJA, raising the next generation of storytellers.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. So we all know what's going to happen on January 6th. The new Speaker of the House will be Nancy Pelosi. The new Majority Leader will be Harry Reid of Nevada. Underneath Nancy Pelosi, well, it's not clear. We're going to have a race, it looks like, for Majority Whip, for Majority Leader, I should say. The Majority Leader of the Democrats will either be Steny Hoyer of Maryland or Murtha of Pennsylvania. In fact, Pelosi has already endorsed Murtha. I think actually Hoyer would be the better Majority Whip. He's been there longer. Murtha is, he's good on the Iraq War, but to me that's not enough. He doesn't have the kind of support that I think that Steny Hoyer would have. I don't think it makes a huge bit of difference. But what I guess I don't like to see is Democrats fighting each other when it's really a time for us to join together. Luckily, I think this leadership race will be over fairly quickly, and we can move on united. I think the Republicans want a big fight in the Democratic Party between the liberals and the moderates. There certainly is some anger there. No question, if you look at the Lieberman-Lamont race, there are still a number of progressives that are very angry that Lieberman won the race. You know, what can I say? He won fair and square. He is a Democrat. He's certainly to the right of me. I certainly disagree with him on Iraq and a number of other things. But Lieberman is not a Republican. He certainly is very good on domestic issues. He'll be solid on things like the minimum wage and health care and civil rights and so forth. So I think that we really need to welcome all elements of the Democratic Party, everyone from Maxine Waters to Joe Lieberman, from conservative Ben Nelson of Nebraska to the liberals that really maintain our party and are going to do some terrific investigations, people like Henry Waxman, John Conyers. We needn't worry, those of us who are more progressive, about the conservatives in the party. And they're really not conservatives, folks. They're really moderates. Down in Mississippi you'll find a couple real conservatives, but there really aren't that many. They're mostly moderates. I consider Lieberman a moderate, by the way, not a conservative. We've seen true conservatives. I think we need to make clear that the Democratic Party is a big tent, and we want it to be a big tent, and there's nothing wrong with it. Because there are many, many things that we all agree on. A number of people are talking about Heath Shuler. Heath Shuler is the former football player who won a seat in rural North Carolina as a Democrat. And they're saying, aha, well, the Democrats moved to the right to attract a Heath Shuler who is pro-life on abortion and pro-guns, etc. I don't know that the Democratic Party moves so much to the right as it is that people need to understand that we are a big tent. There are certain issues that I think all Democrats can agree on. It doesn't mean that we don't agree on everything. We may not all agree on abortion, but we all agree on the minimum wage. We all agree that the average worker in America has been getting farther behind the eight ball, has been losing. The average wages are going down and down and down. The middle American, the median American is worse off, while the super rich are getting much, much richer. We all Democrats can agree that we need to support the middle class. The middle class shouldn't be dying in America. We don't want to see America become like some Latin American countries. I think of Mexico in particular. It's not the only one. Where you've got a few very, very, very rich people living behind walls and basically having their own private security services to protect themselves from the unwashed masses that barely have enough to eat. But that is the direction in which our country is heading. Frankly, 100 years ago, our country wasn't far from that either. If you've ever read Upton Sinclair's The Jungle, you know what I'm talking about. We Democrats believe that every American, no matter what their socioeconomic status, no matter what their race or sex or sexual orientation or religion, every American should have a chance to succeed. In fact, I would argue that's what the American dream is all about. The American dream means that every American who works hard, who plays by the rules, who's particularly talented at something, can achieve something in America. But we can't have that kind of America if we continue to have a two-class society, a society where, let's face it, 70% of African-American children are going to mostly black schools, where a society where these kids in some inner-city schools, their best hope is to work at McDonald's or sell drugs, no matter how smart they are. They really can't get into our best schools. And a country where someone like George W. Bush, C student, gets into Yale just because his dad gets him in, he wouldn't get in otherwise, can shirk his National Guard duty and become president of the United States. That's not the America I support. It's not the America that I think anyone in the Democratic Party supports. So whether you're talking about Heath Shuler or Maxine Waters, whether you're talking about Joe Lieberman or Barbara Boxer, there are certain things that I think all Democrats have in common, and the clearest of all is equal opportunity, an equal chance of success, a belief in the American dream. So the Republicans will try to divide us on issues of abortion or gun control, and I'll get to those in a second. But on these basic principles, that is what the Democratic Plan for America is all about, and that's why we can retain a majority for many years to come. Let's look at what's first on the agenda, raising the minimum wage. Which, as you know, doesn't just raise the wage for those at the bottom, but it increases everybody's wages just a tad. And at an age where you have CEOs making 200, 300, 400 times, sometimes more, than what the average worker is making. Remember, just 20, 30, 50 years ago, a CEO may make 20 or 40 times, not 200 or 400 or 4,000 times what an ordinary worker is making. Look at teachers. Did you know that in 1940, teachers made more money, on average, than your average college graduate? Today, they make about 60% less. Does that mean that teachers are less important now than they were in 1940? That education doesn't matter? Exactly the opposite. We all know that education is the thing that separates Americans. The preparation that allows some Americans to succeed while others fail. So these are democratic values. And it doesn't matter what your position is on some of these other issues, whether you're a progressive or a moderate. Now, they're not Republican values. John McCain said, well, you know, we can only pass the minimum wage if we throw in something for business. Throw in something for business? What do you think we've done for the past 6 years? We've given billions and billions of taxpayer dollars to oil companies, to pharmaceutical companies, to Halliburton and no big contracts. Billions have just been thrown away, wasted, lost, bridges to nowhere. Corporations have done very well in the Bush administration. It's time to help the working people. And I don't think we should tie the minimum wage with a sop to more corporations. You know, they tried that. They tried to tie the minimum wage to the estate tax relief. The idea being that 100 million Americans wages shouldn't increase until a few hundred are able to get hundreds of millions tax-free. Labor, to its credit, organized labor, the union's AFL-CIO, to its credit, said we don't want a minimum wage increase under those circumstances. We want a pure up-and-down minimum wage increase. And we'll need to watch this lame duck session. If the Republicans try to tie the minimum wage to other stuff, then I think we'll have to wait a little bit longer, not much longer, but two more months, till January, when the Democrats can say, sorry, Republicans, and frame the issue however they want. And I would hope that they could get 9 of their Republican colleagues in the Senate to go along, and I think they could. Remember, you need 60. The Democrats may be in control, but in the Senate at least, and they got to get rid of a filibuster. But do you really think the Republicans would filibuster on a minimum wage? You know what? Let's make them try. Let's do a minimum wage, a pure minimum wage increase, and if they want a filibuster, let's do it the old-fashioned way. Let's make them stay up all night long talking and talking and talking against America's workers. One of the things I plan to talk to my new senator about, Jim Webb of Virginia, is precisely that. Is if they want to do a filibuster, let's make it painful for them. Let's make them talk and talk and talk. Let's make America see around the clock how much the Republican Party hates average working people. Of course, minimum wage isn't the only issue we agree on, moderates and liberals in the Democratic Party. Things like health care, allowing the government to negotiate better health care costs. Remember, one of the biggest things done in the prescription drug bill that the administration had was they didn't allow the government to negotiate better prices, even though that's done in Canada and France and all across the civilized world, because, heck, that would cost pharmaceutical companies some of their profits. Well, it's going to change. And I don't think they'll be able to split the Democratic Party, and we shouldn't let them. And when we come back, I'll talk about a few more issues that we have in common, liberals and moderates in the Democratic Party, and then issues that might divide us and why they shouldn't divide us. Toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. You can also call 877-4-HEAD-ON. We'll be right back after this.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Head on Radio with Bob Kincaid.
When? Somebody tell me when the United States of America went from a can-do country to a can't-do country. Was can-do washed away in the fetid floods of Katrina? Was can-do killed in the stinking sands of Iraq? Did can-do get buried in the dank and gassy hole of Sago number 1? Where did the Bush administration go when they took can-do out and killed it? What happened to a nation that never said we can't? What happened to that nation that knew that the only thing it had to fear was fear itself?
Well, Mr. Kincaid, we've replaced that slogan. Now all we have is fear.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on the Head On Radio Network. Do you know what
you want? Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hi, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, forward it to phishing@irs.gov. That's phishing at irs.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484. Thank you.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We've got a new Democratic control of Congress. Everyone knows that, the House and the Senate. It's not going to be easy to pass everything. We've got a decent majority in the House. Not a strong majority, but a decent majority. Of course, we've got a paper-thin majority in the Senate hanging on by one seat. But there are certain things I think that liberals and moderates agree on. It's the old Bill Clinton coalition. And I think we can get a lot passed. We talked about the minimum wage. We talked about health care. You know, cutting interest rates on student loans. Making it tax deductible to pay for college. Helping education. That's something that I think most Americans can agree on. 60, 70, hey, maybe even 80% of us can agree on. And also what I think that Nancy Pelosi will do And Harry Reid will cut back on some of the abuses that even Republicans are now for the first time recognizing they had. You know, Karl Rove is so anxious to show that it wasn't Iraq that caused this election, that he himself is now pointing out congressional corruption. Kind of hilarious after the fact. Obviously, it was both. You don't need to say it was one or the other. But when even Karl Rove is pointing out congressional corruption, I think we can get a good, strong, powerful ethics reform bill passed. One that includes not just restrictions on lobbyists, not just lobbyists that can't pay for things for members of Congress, but also an office of public integrity, a nonpartisan office that would investigate any member of Congress when they're accused of doing something unethical. Now, one of the things I suspect George Bush will try to push through the lame duck Congress is the Republican extremely watered-down lobbying reform bill that was briefly floated last January around the time Tom DeLay was indicted and has been quietly shelved ever since. This bill would provide a little bit more disclosure from lobbyists, a few more forms for them to fill out. I mean, it's not a terrible bill. I don't really think it does any harm. It requires lobbyists to fill out a few more forms, a little more disclosure, that's fine. But it doesn't go near far enough. And one of my concerns is if they pass this in the lame duck Congress, that the Republicans will say, aha, we've done ethics reform. We've done ethics reform. So what's the strategic choice for the Democrats? Should they vote no on this, saying we need something stronger in January? That's a possibility. They could vote yes on it and say we need something stronger in January. Either way, this cannot be sufficient for lobbying reform. And again, I think this is an issue which liberals and moderates and even honest, fair-minded conservatives can agree that this is something we need. Homeland Security, the 9/11 recommendations. I've been talking about Homeland Security for 3.5 years. My very first show in June 2003 was on Homeland Security. Why aren't we protecting our cargo from our ports? Why aren't we protecting our airplanes? Why is it that you have to take your shoes off, but you can still mail a package that can blow up under an airplane? Why aren't we protecting our nuclear and power plants? Why aren't we hardening those targets so we don't have a Timothy McVeigh-like truck bomb? Are we going to wait until after a terrorist attack until we fix these things? Why won't the Republicans do it? That's something that I think, again, liberals, moderates, and conservatives could agree on, but they wanted the money to go to a tax cut. One of the things I find really interesting is that the Republicans have been challenging the Democrats on precisely the issue of Homeland Security. Sort of. Let me read a quote to you from George Bush on October 2nd of this year, 2006, just a month ago. He says, if you listen closely to some of the leaders of the Democratic, he says the Democrat Party. Now, okay, I got to stop right here. That drives me crazy. You know, forget it. I'm just going to have to talk about the Repub Party from now on. If the President of the United States, and I know he's a little illiterate, but he's not doing this because he's a moron. He's doing this because he wants to suggest the Democratic Party is not democratic. So he uses things like the Democrat Party. If you ever hear someone talk about the Democrat Party, say, don't give me that Repub line, and you continually call it the Repub Party, or Reprobate Party is fine with me, but just call it the Repub Party until they learn the name of our party and treat it with respect. You know, even when the Republicans did their dirty trick in Maryland, and I want to talk about this. If you haven't heard about it, it's an amazing dirty trick. They put out a ballot that they called a Democratic sample ballot. And they put the two Republicans that were running in the state of Maryland, the Governor Ehrlich and the senatorial candidate Steele, right on the top of a ballot they claimed was a Democratic sample ballot. I want to get to that in a minute. But for now, I want you to know that they use the word Democratic. They know in speaking to Democratic audiences, they know the name of our party. But George Bush apparently wants to, you know, insult our party. Well, fine. Anyway, here's what he writes. Here's what he says. George Bush said on October 2nd, if you listen closely to some of the leaders of the Democrat Party, it sounds like they think the best way to protect the American people is wait until we're attacked again. Now, think about all the ways in which that is a lie. I mean, obviously, it's a slap at the Democratic Party, but it's more than that. This is the president that refused to protect our home. That refused the homeland security provisions that we proposed, we Democrats, and a number of Republicans proposed way back in 2002. Protecting our cargo, protecting our ports, protecting our nuclear and chemical power plants. As I just said, this president apparently is waiting for an attack, for a Timothy McVeigh-like truck bomb. You know, there's a chemical plant right outside a very major American city. I don't think I'll say the name. Not that I don't think the terrorists don't know about it. I think they do, but why should I help them in any way, shape, or form? But there's a major American city with a major chemical plant, not far at all. You hit it with a Timothy McVeigh-like truck bomb, you can kill tens of thousands of Americans. Only 3,000 died on September 11th. We need to harden these targets. But the president apparently is waiting till we're attacked again. But you see what he does? He does projection. That's Karl Rove's idea. Projection. Projection is a psychological problem of when you have a problem, you project it on someone else. It's kind of, like you've got a wino constantly drinking, dead drunk, and he sees a woman drinking a little bit of red wine and says, you're an alcoholic. It's projection. Well, that's what George Bush is doing. He's not protecting our homeland security, and so he's saying it's the Democrats waiting until we're attacked again. He has made our country more unsafe, more available for terrorists who are growing in that incipient terrorist center in Iraq that didn't used to be. Saddam Hussein was a relatively quiet dictator, and then he's talking about the Democrats creating terrorists. So I think, in the end, lobbying restrictions, student loans, minimum wage, health care, there are a lot of things that we Democrats agree across everyone from Maxine Waters to Heath Shuler. What about the things we disagree on? Let's talk about it. I don't mean to hide from these issues. Let's talk about abortion. Let's talk about gun control or gun rights. To me, you have to deal with each of these separately, but I think there are many issues that most of us can agree on. On abortion, look, the Supreme Court has said that Roe v. Wade is legal. I don't think we need any more laws to protect a woman's right to choose. I think we've got them. So lay low on abortion. No need to do anything. No more pro-life agenda will get through. I mean, after all, the great majority of Democrats are pro-choice. But in respect to the pro-life members of our party, we'll just leave it alone. We won't go anywhere. That's fine with me. On gun control, let's look at the things that are obvious to the American people. Things like we've done on this show before. Have your guns to hunt. That's fine. Have your guns for self-protection. That's fine. But, check the background. I mean, I even hear people who support the NRA saying, well, we don't mind background checks. Why would any non-criminal mind a background check? So you may have to wait a week to get your gun or your second gun or your 12th gun. So what? If you need it for self-defense, you should be calling the police instead of getting a gun and getting the police to help you. So, you know, if it's an emergency, get a restraining order. Do something. Go to court. But otherwise, you can wait a week. You can wait a week to get your gun. I just think that a lot of these issues, gay civil rights, seems like the biggest thing that the Republicans use as their wedge issue is abortion and gay civil rights. Well, there are many gay civil rights that most Americans agree with. Yes, there's controversy over the right to marry. That's being done state by state. Doesn't have to be done in Congress. But look at just the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. That's an act that says simply you can't hire or fire someone just because they're gay. Some 80% of Americans support that. That is an issue that liberals and moderates, and heck, even a few conservatives that are decent people and don't believe in bigotry would support. That's fine. Or a hate crimes bill. A bill that says that if you choose to beat up someone or crucify someone, as they did Matthew Shepard because he's gay, or drag someone behind a truck, as they did a black man in Texas, just because he's black, that those are serious crimes that need to be punished and need to be punished more severely. Because you know what? It's more severe to burn a cross in your neighbor's yard than to burn some leaves, even if the damage to the lawn is the same. We all know the difference between a hate crime and an ordinary crime. These are things that I think Americans can come together on. So, in other words, even the issues that they claim will divide us liberals and moderates, things like gay civil rights or abortion or gun laws, I think we can come together on. And other issues, stupid issues, you're not going to see them in this Congress. You're not going to see flag-burning stuff, stupid stuff like that. Who cares whether three flags are burned or four flags are burned? Who cares? I think you're going to find a very pragmatic Democratic majority, and the Republicans are going to have a hard time. They're going to try to separate us. They're going to try to divide us. I don't think they'll succeed. And when we come back, I want to talk about some of the Republican dirty tricks in this election, because I think it shows, in essence, another real difference between the parties. A party seeking to govern and a party seeking to simply get ahead politically. And why it is that simply playing politics this year failed. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275 or 877-4HEAD-ON. Want to make a comment, agree or disagree? I always welcome your calls. Or you can post on the blog at RadioInsideScoop.com. We'll be right back after this.
A routine visit to the pediatrician costs more than a minimum wage worker earns in one full day. For nearly a decade, Virginia's minimum wage has remained pitifully low at $5.15 an hour.
I'm a single mom and I have to work two jobs just to pay the rent and put food on the table. It's really hard.
America needs a raise. Help raise the minimum wage. Sign the petition at www.vafairwage.org. Sponsored by the Virginia AFL-CIO, working hard for all working people.
Head on Radio with Bob Kincaid.
Somebody tell me when the United States of America went from a can-do country to a can't-do country. Was can-do washed away in the fetid floods of Katrina? Was can-do killed in the stinking sands of Iraq? Did can-do get buried in the dank and gassy hole of Sago number one? Where did the Bush administration go when they took can-do out and killed it? What happened to a nation that never said we can't? What happened to that nation that knew that the only thing it had to fear was fear itself?
Well, Mr. Kincaid, we've replaced that slogan. Now all we have is fear.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on the Head On Radio Network. Do you know
what you want? What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. Or go to peacecorps.gov.
Ready?
No.
Ready?
Not.
Your body's been ready for quite some time.
Not.
Ready?
But not your mind.
Ready?
Not.
Ready?
No way.
You have lots to do before you have a baby. But don't forget to take folic acid today and every day to prevent birth defects one special day. So when all of you is ready, that baby of yours will be ready to take on the world.
Ready?
Not.
Ready.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. So we've seen the Democrats move in a pragmatic direction, some say more toward the center. I disagree. I think they simply emphasize Democratic principles. You know, it seems that the Democrats have for years called for these things, eliminating corporate subsidies, minimum wage, health care, education, homeland security, and no one's listened. And the Republicans have said the Democrats are the party of, and then they point to something extremely liberal that maybe a few Democrats support, you know, the party of give up, cut and run of Iraq, blah, 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 blah. But now that the Democrats are coming to power and are actually able to talk about their agenda in a way that the media can actually listen to it, well, they're the centrist party. You know what? If that's what people want to believe, fine. Fine. I have no problem with that. Let them call the Democrats centrist. I'm going to be debating a Republican tonight. You'll hear it tomorrow, Jim Parmalee. He's a very, unlike Mike Lane, he's a very loud Republican. Sometimes it's hard for me to get a word in edgewise. But I think you'll find that he's going to say, the Democrats move to the right. You know what? Let them think that. If they want to think that raising the minimum wage is moving to the right, fine. Fine. Because what that does is it allows people who've called themselves Republicans for a very long time, just that little bit of push they need to begin to vote for the Democrats. If we've taken the center and the Republicans have moved to the far right, fine. Now, I happen to believe these are progressive principles we've always had. I don't think they're particularly conservative at all. But again, if people want to think that, I have no problem with it. Remember, the Republicans have been attacking the Democrats for years as weak on defense. They said, as George Bush said, in fact, just October 30th, heck, 2 weeks ago, he said, the terrorists win and America loses. That's the Democratic approach. The terrorists win and America loses. That's pretty strong stuff, particularly from a president who took a nice, functioning, stable, weak dictatorship in Iraq and made it into a place where 2,800 Americans are dead, almost as many as died on September 11th. In fact, it'll be interesting because in just a couple months, the number of Americans dead in Iraq will grow to greater than the number of Americans killed on September 11th. And the difference, of course, is that the people who caused September 11th are still free and fine and living because we haven't redeployed our troops. We're sticking them in a beehive and people are getting stung. But it didn't work anymore. It didn't work. In 2006, America understands, the majority of Americans, that Iraq is not our future, that it's not making our country safer. And so for the first time, the Republicans turned around. They said, well, okay, let's not talk about Iraq. Let's talk about local issues. Yeah, local issues. Yeah, look at how much pork our representative got for you. Well, it didn't work. It didn't work because people understand that the pork itself is part of Republican corruption. So they did all manner of dirty tricks. They did these robocalls. Did you get those? These automated phone calls where they would do push polls. A push poll is where you claim to be an independent source. You claim to just be getting a poll. Who do you plan to vote for on Tuesday? And then you ask questions to try to change the vote. Well, would it change your vote for Jim Webb, Senator of Virginia, if we told you that he was going to raise your taxes? Which is certainly not something Jim Webb never said. But the idea is to try to persuade voters using these calls. Now, that's standard. It's wrong. Frankly, I think it should be made illegal. But that's used throughout dirty tricks in campaigns. And it's almost always done by Republicans. I have never heard of a Democratic push poll. If you have, let me know. It seems to always be a Republican dirty trick. Or, you know, just the kind of stupid campaigning that I think, frankly, lost the race at the end of the day for George Allen. The last straw that made Jim Webb come over the top was when Allen was talking about Jim Webb's novels. So Jim Webb wrote some novels, actually very highly prized novels, highly esteemed. In fact, a number of Marines will say this is the book you need to read, Fields of Fire, when you're joining the Marine Corps. But yeah, they had some sexual scenes in it. They were honest, accurate depictions. They were books for adults. And Allen was attacking them. I forget who it was that pointed out that, hey, you know, in Shakespeare, Hamlet, Macbeth, you've got incest, you've got murder. You have a lot worse than anything that Jim Webb depicted. But there's one dirty trick that takes the cake, that is the dirtiest of all dirty tricks. And we're going to post some of the video of this on my website at radioinsidescoop.com after the show tonight. You can actually see the pamphlet for yourself. This is the pamphlet that was mailed to hundreds of thousands of African-American voters, particularly poor African-American voters, though not exclusively, in Prince George's County in Maryland, was handed out at the polls. This ballot, what the Republicans did, including, amazingly, the governor's wife, the Republican governor's wife, Kendall Ehrlich, went to homeless shelters in Pennsylvania, not even the state of Maryland, and paid the poor blacks there $100 a day plus two meals to come in and to hand out these pamphlets. And what were on the pamphlets? The pamphlets had a Democratic sample ballot. Again, when Republicans are trying to fake like they're Democrats, they know how to pronounce our party name. They had a Democratic sample ballot that listed Ehrlich and Steele at the top, the Republican candidates. Now, look, you've all just voted. Everyone listening to my voice, of course, voted. And you know what happened on Tuesday. You went to your polling place, and you were handed sample ballots, one by the Democratic person at the polls and one by the Republican. You walk in. Maybe you refuse the ballots. But the Democratic sample ballot is handed to you, and it helps you out. Maybe you know who you're going to vote for in your senator's race, but you don't know who your congressman is, or you don't know who your local alderman is, and it tells you who the Democrats are. The Republicans do the same. If you are going to vote a party line, which many of us do, it tells you how to vote. Well, you had the Republicans handing out ballots they called Democratic sample ballots, and they had, say, Democratic local officials on them. They had Democratic congressmen on them, and at the top was the Republican governor, Bob Ehrlich, only it didn't mention he was Republican. And it had Michael Steele, only it didn't mention he was Republican. Right there in the ballot. So they lied. Democratic sample ballot. You want to vote a straight Democratic Party ticket? Vote for Bob Ehrlich and Michael Steele, two Bush Republicans. Now, I happen to think that's fraud. I happen to think it's criminal. And I hope there's a very important investigation to lock these people up that did it. But you know who did it? Ehrlich. Steele. They admitted it. They admitted that they did it. They think it's fair. Do they really think it's fair? Is it okay with them if the Democrats go to Idaho and put out a ballot that says Republican sample ballot and they're Democrats all along the list? Do they really think that's fair? It's a lie. It is fraud. It is criminal. These people need to go to jail. And you had the governor of the state of Maryland's wife going, not even in Maryland, but to homeless, poor black people in Pennsylvania. You know why they went to Pennsylvania? I'll tell you. Because the poor blacks in Maryland knew who the candidates were, many of them, and would have said, you know, I'm not going to lie to people to get their votes. So they went out of state to Pennsylvania, paid poor homeless black people to to come in to wear an Ehrlich t-shirt that didn't say Democratic or Republican and hand out ballots that say Democratic, had on the face of the ballot three Democratic leaders, Kwesi Mfume, who endorsed, of course, the Democratic candidates, Jack Johnson, the head of the county board in Prince George's, who also endorsed the Democratic candidates. They had them on the front of this ballot that put Steele and Ehrlich in. This, my friends, is the lowest of the low of dirty tricks. And let me tell you, it's got to backfire. And the only way it's going to backfire is if we let everyone know about it. Let every person you know, particularly African Americans, know that Republicans not only won't do anything on their agenda to help you out, but they think you're morons. They are doing their best to trick you. They know they can't get your votes legally. They're trying to trick you to get their votes. My friend, they couldn't hack as much as they used to. Maybe in the 13th district in Florida is the only one they could hack this time because we have more paper records. They had to resort to this. My friend, if you ever want to know the difference between the Democratic and Republican parties, just compare the big tent Democrats and the dirty trick Republicans. This is Mark Levine, signing off.
Do it tomorrow.
That's right. That's right. Susan, thank you, and have a wonderful evening.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. I'm deadly in earnest about this. I don't know. I'm not going to become a Republican, and I'm not going to go join the little green circle jerk in the corner. But I will let House and Senate Democrats know that we're not like Republicans. We don't just put them in there and follow the marching orders. We've got things that have to be done, and we expect to see them done. And I've got a list. And no, you don't. And please, no, we're not going to open impeachment proceedings. We're just going to investigate. We're going to do some governmental congressional oversight. Because that's how you turn over the dead kitty in the ash heap. And once you find it, you see where it came from. And when you find out where it came from, then you initiate proceedings. I mean, does that jibe with where you're coming from? Does that jibe with your thinking? I mean, I've seen Nancy Pelosi's first 100 hours, and most of it is admirable. All of it's admirable. But there is a war to end, and there's another war to prevent. And sometime during this lame duck session of Congress, I expect the money that we've been shipping to Nicaragua to get cut off. Because, well, you know, that's the typical Republican way, is to cut off money to people who are, that is helping people who are dirt poor. Screwing poor people as a way of extending power. That's just another day in Repigla world. I don't like these people. I don't feel charity toward them. I don't want to reach out across the aisle to them. As long as I know that people like Chris Matthews are out there saying, oh, this was a triumph of conservatism. I don't care how whacked out of his mind was on what particular substance he was when he said it. As long as they're still saying that crap, that means that we are still in danger from the Republican Party. And we must still move forward to destroy that danger. For me, there's not a dime's worth of difference between a Republican and a member of Al-Qaeda, okay? I said it there. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Association Group Insurance Plans are underwritten by Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush announced today that Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld is resigning after they met and agreed that a new perspective on the Iraq War is needed. Mr. Bush has tapped Robert Gates, the former CIA director under George Bush Sr., as Rumsfeld's replacement. However, the Senate must still confirm that nomination. Just last week, Mr. Bush said Rumsfeld would stay at the Pentagon through the end of his term. In January, the Democrats will take control of the House of Representatives for the first time in 12 years. That follows results of yesterday's midterm elections, during which the party picked up 33 seats. Mr. Bush is expected to meet with House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi tomorrow. The San Francisco Democrat is almost certain to become the new House Speaker, the first female to hold that position in U.S. history. Current House Speaker Dennis Hastert says he does not intend to run for Minority Leader in January. In the Senate, the Democrats now have 50 seats. In the close Montana race, Democrat John Tester is expected to beat the incumbent, Republican Conrad Burns. However, Burns has not conceded yet. In Virginia, Democratic challenger Jim Webb holds about a 7,000-vote lead against Republican incumbent George Allen. That's according to the New York Times, which reports that Webb is already planning his transition into the Senate. But Allen supporters have indicated they would challenge the vote count. If Webb does win, that would give Democrats control of the Senate. In non-election news, at least 18 Palestinians were killed in Israeli strikes on a residential neighborhood in Gaza today. The Israeli Defense Minister said the attacks were ordered as a way to halt artillery strikes in Gaza. Palestinian Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh has since suspended talks on forming a unity government. In Iraq today, Parliament voted to extend the country's state of emergency for 30 more days. More than 60 Iraqis were either killed or found dead today. Also, the U.S. military reported the deaths of a U.S. soldier and a Marine, raising the death toll so far this month to at least 21. In Kentucky today, a former U.S. soldier pleaded not guilty to rape and murder charges of a 14-year-old Iraqi girl and the deaths of three of her family members in March. If convicted, the soldier could be sentenced to death. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news are next. It's 2.5 minutes past the hour.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage.